Good morning. I love that verse, David. Thank you. Could we bow our heads before I begin? Father in heaven, this morning, as we have come to this, your place of worship, we pray that we will speak for you, not me, Lord, lest I should boast of some goodness of my own, of which there is none. I thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody ever considered the word status quo, the words, excuse me? Status quo. I've heard it used all my life, and there are people that are, well, let's just say they've been here longer than I have. And I know they've heard it all of their lives. Anybody want to venture out, take a limb, get as far out as you can? Status quo. How do you feel about it? What do you think of it? What's a good term maybe that you see rather than using an old term? What do you see? Anybody? You can be brave. It's okay. No change. Anybody else?
Just like the good old days.
Just like the good old days. Okay. Anybody else?
Lukewarm.
I think we're getting there. I heard another one. What'd you say?
Complacent.
Okay. Leave things like they are? Okay, continuing like they are. How about something like blending in? Would that be status quo? I'm only asking, you can tell me, it's okay to say no, you're clear off in left field. How about being popular? Does that work? How about the term that is really popular these days, coexist? Does that work? Is that a status quo? Well, because I have some ideas, it always gets me in trouble. And in my ideas, I like to recognize something real quickly, and then we're going to go from there. And I like to come back to Jesus, and I like to say, what did Jesus do that made me think that he was not about the status quo? Anybody? It's okay. Again, I'm not going to throw. Pardon? He washed the disciples' feet. That was not status quo. He talked to a Samaritan woman. Pardon? He turned the money changers' tables over. I heard one over here. He was always a servant. Okay. Are there any others? Other things that he may have done that really told you that he was not about the status quo? I mean, those things, the servant part, that's got to be huge. Because if you're in that day and age, well, That would definitely get you in trouble. But, pardon? He healed people, and he healed them on the Sabbath, right? That was definitely problematic. Okay. He kind of said it like it is. Go ahead. He raised Lazarus from the dead. Anything? I saw another hand over here. Oh, he wrote their sins in the sand. Yes, Jeannie. Took a chance of being ostracized, huh? He even went to Simon's house for dinner. Yes. He took our place. That wouldn't be status quo. That's for you have just mentioned are in a list that I have compiled. Because in Jerusalem, he did many things. He attacked the tax collectors, tipped over their tables. I may have called it different. He called it, they were running a racket. They were getting extra money out of the deal by exchanging your money for Roman money. They were crooks, let's be real honest. And he physically did something. He chased them out, which in their society, that was completely off the reservation. That's not allowed at all if you are even a Jewish leader. You're not allowed to do that unless there's a group of you. You know, it has to go to committee. Somebody has to decide who's going to throw the first stone. I know it sounds a little bit ludicrous, but it isn't. It's true. Everything that we look at as we go through today, I want us to remember that I want to compare everything in our lives to the status quo and to Jesus, and to see where we sit as we think about it. Now then, I know there are those of you that do Bible studies. Anybody, come on, raise your hand. You're doing Bible studies. You have a small group that you're teaching people in. It's okay. You know, I'm not asking you to brag. I don't want to be alone. Here's the thing. As you study with those people, do you know that everyone that you study with is going to be a success? No, you don't know that. But you know one thing for sure. The success of that is really not up to you. You know that your job is to plant the seeds. And if you've done your job right, you have plowed the soil, you have watered the soil, and you have planted the seed, God will do his part, because he said, I am faithful. Now, is that our status quo, is to be faithful like God? See, I like to work things around to where it comes around a little bit of a trap. Because I like the term. I like status quo, but I like to set it in a different light. Because if my goal in life is to be like Jesus, well, there's a new status quo. My goal is not to be like my best friend on earth. And I have some really good friends. They don't all admit to being my friend at the same time, but it's okay. The thing is, Jesus never picture. Jesus never backed up and ran away because you weren't on the same page with him. Status quo. A gentleman came up to me, this has been about 3.5 weeks ago, and I was getting deserved it. Because he informed me that I'm a Christian and that I am the epitome of what's wrong in this world. He said, because all you Christians are just alike. Well, there's that status quo thing. Are all Christians alike? Now, how about if I go someplace that maybe makes us uncomfortable? How about if I say all true Christians are alike? Is that a fair statement? I see a lot of people looking at the floor. I see some feet kind of moving funny. Are you uncomfortable with that? Jesus said, if you take my name, well, the name Christian comes from Christ. So if we take his name upon us, shouldn't we be like him? This gentleman told me the problem is everybody sees Jesus differently, and so he chooses not to see Jesus at all. That was an interesting statement to me, because most people, they have their own picture of Jesus, and they look for some way to turn it around and bring it to you. Jesus. It wasn't a long conversation that we had at all, because, you know, he only had a little bit to say, and he didn't want me to really have any opportunity to return the words, because he just was wanting to inform me what was wrong with me. I told him, I can look in the mirror. I know what's wrong with me. First thing I did, I got out of bed this morning, and that's usually a bad thing. How many people do you know say that the things that you do as a Christian, you only do them because it's expected to belong to some church? What did Jesus say? Everything in love. Anybody else? Whatsoever I have commanded you, do what? I heard somebody say it. Come on. Do ye likewise. Yeah, there you go. Have you ever been in trouble for doing the same thing that you saw somebody else do? Have you ever made outrageous claims that you couldn't back up or substantiate in any way? What about Jesus? Did Jesus say things that people in his day absolutely could not swallow? I heard some yeses. I see some heads shaking. I see some other people looking around saying, where is he going? Early in Jesus' career, he did something. In fact, this is really early in his career because he's only 12 years old, and he did something that I know what would have happened to me had I been with my parents and we have come to town and I just deliberately stayed behind and they don't find out that I'm gone for 3 days. When my dad found me, there wouldn't have been any questions asked as to what were you doing. The fact was I wasn't with them where I belonged, and I would have had a... Let's say there would have been an application to the seat of my understanding. I would never have done it again, I guarantee it. Now, I have to admire Jesus' parents at this moment, because in spite of the fact that they were livid and terrified all at the same time, I had an individual say, I got to take a side road here for a second, say to me, okay, if his parents were such great parents, has it ever been quiet enough in your house when your kids were around that you wondered if they were gone? I don't know, there were times I kind of wondered if they would leave so I could have some peace and quiet. I wasn't serious, but you know, there is that moment. Jesus was doing something that was completely out of place. Jesus of Nazareth, and we really need to keep that involved in there for just a moment. Jesus of Nazareth. What is Nazareth? What does it represent in Scripture? Can any good thing come from where? Come from Nazareth. And here is Jesus of Nazareth sitting in here with the distinguished leadership, the scholars of the church. And he's not just listening to them, he's instructing them. They have questions suddenly they can't answer, but he's answering them. How many of you are really receptive to having answers from a 12-year-old? Don't answer me. Just think about it. Everybody that's had children that are grown now have had a 12-year-old in the house, and you know exactly. I saw you shaking your head, Shelly. It's okay. I understand. Here's the thing. In general, Jesus went out of his way to avoid conflict. Is that? I see a head shaking, yes. I see a lot of people looking at me like they're not sure that I've got all my marbles in the same basket. Okay, we could probably go there, but that's not quite what I'm thinking. Head on was Jesus' way, always. There's something when Jesus began his ministry that he did, and there's a statement that he made that people take issue with all the time. John the Baptist comes along and he baptizes Jesus after a little discussion between the two of them about who should do the baptizing. And Jesus says to him, I must be baptized so that what can be fulfilled? He asked that Scripture can be fulfilled. For all that is written, he said, can be fulfilled. Were people getting baptized at that time? So was Jesus doing something that's totally abnormal? There is one thing that he did that's really abnormal. You remember when Philip had the little baptismal session in the wilderness? You remember? The money keeper says, can I be baptized? And he said, well, if you believe. He said, well, I do believe. They found water, they stopped, and they baptized him. Jesus didn't come down there saying that he believed. There was no exchange amongst anyone about his belief in anything, except that he wanted to fulfill Scripture. He required John to baptize him. That is not status quo, folks. There is nothing status quo about what Jesus did on this planet ever. And I will use that to springboard where I'm going, because there's something that we as Christians do, and it's done over and over and over again, and we think somehow it changes something. If I am a lousy, good-for-nothing person like I am, and I get myself baptized, what changes? What just happened when I got baptized? What happened? Pardon? Sins are washed away. Pardon? You've invited the Holy Spirit. Yes, Jim.
It's an outward acknowledgement of what's already happened on the inside.
Absolutely. Is there anything else? If I'm baptized as a no good person that has now changes. Pardon? You belong to Jesus? Okay. We're running all the way around it here. What does baptism really symbolize? When you go down in the water of death. You see, baptism is a sign that you no longer accept the status quo. No longer. You cannot accept the status quo if you are truly in your heart, repentant of your sins, asking to be allowed to die the death of Christ under the waters of the grave and to be raised up into eternal life with Jesus. No status quo. His name is Eduardo. Eduardo lives on the outskirts of it's a very large metropolitan area. Everybody probably knows its name. It's called Juarez. It's in Mexico. It's on the border. He's a wonderful, wonderful Christian young man. I tried to be creative and call him Edward. He didn't really think I was funny. I said, where do you worship at? I said, I know there isn't a Christian church here, close by at least. He said, well, there is one, and he named the village, and I'm sorry, I didn't catch it good enough. It's only about 20 miles, he said. I can go there, and I do often on Sabbaths. I go there and worship. Eduardo doesn't have a donkey. He doesn't have a burro. He doesn't have a bicycle. He doesn't have a car. So if he goes to church over there, well, I know how he gets there. But he said during the week, he said, there's this beautiful old church here in town that I go in and I worship in every day. And I was curious. And so I went with Eduardo. We walked about, I don't know, 10 or 12 blocks, I think. And sure enough, as you come through everything, there's this old cathedral. I know it's old. All you had to do is look at the architecture to know that the thing is, well, it predates anything around here by 100 years. And you walked in, it's flagstone floors. And he went there every day, and I went there with him, and he said, take your shoes off, leave them outside. Took my shoes off, walked in with him. It was so quiet in that beautiful place, you could have heard a pin drop. There was 30 or 40 other people at different places around the huge sanctuary. They're praying. Eduardo took me to the little corner where there's streaming light coming through colored glass that's probably 40 feet off the ground. That's the only light in the place. There are no lights. Now, I'm not saying that this represents anything at all, but to Eduardo, this was where he came to worship God. Every day. He said, I come here because here I can hear him when he talks to me. Do you worry about hearing God when he talks to you? Eduardo was concerned because he was coming there every day, and there were these other people that were criticizing him because he was coming here, because there's this symbol above the door, and everybody knows what it is because it's a Catholic church. But it's a beautiful place. But he went there to worship God. He didn't go there to worship the way the Catholics worship. Near a status quo in your mind? See, I don't think so. Because most people that are trying to worship the Lord would have found some other place that wouldn't have been so conspicuous about looking like maybe they were worshiping where they shouldn't worship. I loved Eduardo. I loved the way he worshiped. I loved to listen to him pray. I wish I could pray with the fervency and power that Eduardo prayed with. He prayed usually every day for about 15 minutes. And then he went about his day. And his day was considerably different than mine. You know, I'm a lazy person. I get in a vehicle and I drive all day. Well, his idea of work was, he would go and he would find his little wheelbarrow-looking arrangement. It had two wheels instead of one. And he would pull it wherever he went, and he would go and he would collect produce in it, and then he would take it around and sell it, and that was how he made his living. And that's okay. He never complained once. I spent 2 weeks there. I never heard him complain about anything in his life. He never complained about that. But what he did complain about was people that came there to tell him about Jesus that always talked to them about making it easy. Grasp of Spanish, though I do have a little. I actually speak Spanish, but I try really hard not to because I get embarrassed regularly. He let me know that what he meant was they turn it into something that is more social than into something that is about God. And that brought me back to the name of my topic. Because I listen to a lot of different people that talk about Jesus on the radio. I'd like to say I watch them on television, but I'm not home long enough to watch people on television. When I come home, the dog has watched television all day, so I get to turn it off and her and I get to do something together for a few minutes. I love the fact that he recognized something that we do that we shouldn't do. We make this so easy that we forget that it's not about us, that it's about God. Status quo Christians, back to where I started. Because status quo Christians are not Christians at all, according to the Bible. According to the Bible, status quo Christians are people in name only. And there is a time coming when those that are Christians in name only, the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and there will be a proclamation about those that are today. The only thing I care about, and this is absolutely true, is that every one of us in here would have our hearts tuned to Jesus. If our hearts are tuned to Jesus, these folks that have been going door to door, and they remind me of something I did 50 years ago, and I loved it back then. I was in a program called One-to-One Evangelism. Some of you may have heard of it. And we went door to door, and it's a wonderful experience. It's not like any other that you'll ever have, so don't stop. Keep it up. It's great, because it isn't status quo. When I get up and go to work every day, is the first thing on my mind about Jesus. Now, I'm going to be honest, because that's where the rubber meets the road in our lives. I'm not going to judge you, because that's not my job. My job is to tell you what Jesus... And I know that when He tells me, Conrad, when you got up this morning, which for me is like 10 o'clock at night, you didn't spend a thoughtful hour because you were running late and you had to be somewhere by a certain time. So we only got that 15 minutes that Eduardo prayed. And all through my day, I always feel short-sheeted when I have rushed my God. It may not mean the same thing to you, but it does to me. But it only does to me because when He shows me what I have missed, and maybe you don't do the same thing I do. I have stuff, well, yeah, I do. I have it in every device I own, and I got a lot of them. They all have different, they're open to different things, Bible texts, spirit of prophecy, some great scholarly works that I study. And I love that. I love to be able to compare them, just like the Bible says, Scripture with Scripture. And it doesn't mean it the way that we think of it, but that's okay. It actually has a much deeper connotation than what most people see. And when you compare Scripture with Scripture, then you take it in its own and you don't allow it to be influenced from outside or perverted in some way. That way you get to know the Jesus that wrote that. When I short myself in the morning, my day never goes right. Somebody told me that you should just stop somewhere. Yeah, that works out well in my line of work. Just stop somewhere. I'd love to. I get to see things every day of my life that remind me how close we are to the coming of the Lord. And I really do. When I go places and I see people that are deliberately standing in the highway hoping that you will run over them, I'm pretty sure that we're real close to that place where it says the end is near, even at the door. I go to this sinkhole drain city at the end of the highway down here on 84 every day, just about. Some people are offended because I see it that way, but you don't see what I see there every single day. The problem is, as Christians, we forget to do what Jesus did. You know, we have to love everybody, and it's absolutely certain, and don't get me going down some other road because I won't go there. That's status quo. But I have people say to me, well, you just got to go there and just be nice to those people. They're okay right the way they are. Are they okay the way they are? Jesus didn't get a hold of my life until the day that Jesus knocked me down onto my knees and it hurt. He had to wake me up before I knew there was anything wrong with me. He had to break the status quo in my life. The status quo is awful easy to do. You get up, you have breakfast, you go to work, you say hello to the same people, you work with the same people, you do the same job that you did yesterday, and you just do it again today. It's real simple. It's status quo. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. You have to work. But at the same time that we have to work, I really admire people that have jobs that in their daily work they have complete interaction with other people. I admire that. I've been in those positions. But I had a quest in my life to make a lot of money. And so sometimes making money and doing jobs that put you in a face-to-face with people where you can talk about Jesus, well, it may not work out well for you. Status quo. You got to break out of the status quo, folks. The status quo is taking the old and putting it away. Unlike what Andy said, well, it was said back there too. Always the same. We can't. We cannot just leave things the way they are. Because if we leave them the way they are, when the Lord comes, He's going to look at me and He's going to say, what about those that I put in your path for you to witness to about me? What about them? Where are they, those lambs that I sent to you? What have you done with them? I don't want to answer to Him and say, well, Lord, I don't know where they went. I don't want that to be my answer. I know none of you want that to be your answer, but that is the answer that we struggle with every day when we get out of bed. We spend our thoughtful hour with the Lord, and still we need to say to Him, Lord, put that person in front of me and don't let me walk by them until You have taken their hand. If today there is anything that you can do to break out of the lethargy in your life, lethargy, quote, kind of, only it's less exuberant. I have lethargy when I get up in the morning sometimes. I have it bad when I'm ready to go to bed too. Break out. Take that moment. Take a chance. Talk to those people that you don't think are listening to you. You don't need to give them a lecture. When Christ is shining through you, all you have to do is let them know that you're thinking about them. One of the most fun things I've ever done in my life is I got a black eye. Well, I know. You're looking at me now. I got a black eye. I did, literally. It was a nice, big, fat shiner. Trina had to ask questions about it when I got home. There was a young lady, and her shopping cart is down. Everything's all over the place. I'm this idiot. I went over and I helped her pick up all her stuff. Put it back in the shopping cart and get all her stuff together. And along comes this guy, and he says, what are you doing flirting with my wife? And boom! As I was picking myself up off the floor, I was thinking, wow, being a good guy is not always a good thing. But it was all right. My eye healed up just fine. I got a lot of laughs from a lot of people. Trina thought it was hilarious. She just wished she'd had a video. Talk about the Jesus in you. And that little thing that you do may break the status quo for that person that you are touching. no matter how small that may seem to you. Maybe there's that person that's vertically challenged at the grocery store, and maybe you're not. And they can't reach that thing on the third shelf, and you could reach it for them. And you could volunteer to do that by being really kind and seeing them looking all the way up at the ceiling, knowing there's something up there they want, and go over and say, is there something I can help you with? Don't presume that you know what it is. Just ask if there's something you can help them with. And most of the time, they're going to say yes. Lady riding around in Walmart, another friend of mine, wasn't me. I was envious. I wished it could have been me. Riding around on a power cart in Walmart, comes rolling down the aisle, and there's some stuff that this lady wanted that's on the power cart, and it's clear down on the bottom shelf. Now, people that are really in bad shape that ride those power carts, they can't even bend over to get what's on the bottom shelf. And he comes by, and he says, well, if you can stoop over and pick up this down here, that'd be a great help to me. Well, now, my friend is just about as disabled as she was. He got down on his knees beside her power cart, and he crawled over and got her cart for her, and then it took him several minutes to get back up because he's really in a bad shape. Do you think she saw Jesus in him? Whether she knows it or not, do you think she did? When Jesus sends us to someone to be the servant for someone, like he was for the disciples when he washed their feet, and every other event throughout all of his life on earth, don't turn him away. Break the status quo. Be the person that they will not expect. Maybe you've never had this kind of an experience. It's fun for me. I've begun doing it on purpose because it's fun. I'll be going out through the parking lot somewhere and somebody is bringing their cart back all the way up to wherever you're supposed to leave them, and they're nice enough that they're not going to just dump it someplace. And I'll say, can I take that for you? And they'll look at me, oh, that would be wonderful to go shopping with the thing. But that really isn't the point of it. The point is so much fun watching the reaction on people's face if you just do something nice for them. It's wonderful. Coming out of the grocery store, I watched a young man. He's got a cart. He's just finished with it. He's put all the groceries over here, and he's got three or four bags, and he's just set them down over there, and he grabs his cart, and he turns it around, and he hands it to this lady that's coming in the door, and he said, here, it's all warmed up and ready to go. She was tickled. She didn't have to go find a cart. He said, it doesn't even have any crazy wheels. I just challenge you to find something in your life every day that is Jesus in you reaching out to the people that you meet. Because it is. Jesus said, all good things come from where? From who sent him? From the Father. Jesus makes it very clear to us that there's a lot of things that we can do that gives us an opportunity to do something nice for somebody that will give them an opportunity to say something to you like, why that question? Because then I can get a great big smile on my face, and I can tell them why I do that. Oh, some people, oh, another one of them Jesus crazy people. Yes, I am. Thank you very much. We got to be. Reason for everything we do every day, we've already failed. Don't fail to let Jesus lead you today. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, as you break the status quo in our lives, as you give us things to do every single day, as you put that person in our path, don't let us be in such a hurry that we just rush by them. And even when that person maybe is grumpy to us, help us to smile at them and let them know that we care about them anyway. Be with us as we leave this place, Father. May this be a moment that we'll carry with us for always. Because as you come into our hearts to stay, everyone will know that we have been in your presence and that everything that we do and say will come from you. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.